Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This EDUCAUSE 2009 annual conference podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International.
Hello, this is Carol Hall, podcasting from EDUCAUSE 2009 conference in Denver, Colorado. I'm joined in conversation today with Brian Hughes, the Director of Social Media at the Teachers College of Columbia University. My first question is, how does an instructor begin to redesign their course material to reflect a social media? What fears from faculty, students, and administrators must be addressed in order to have buy-in from everyone?
What we've found in our group is working with faculty to redesign their work in a social media sense kind of starts with talking about making things a little more public and finding gradations of making their work and their students' work more public. In some sense, that's some of the fears they have, is that this media is social. A lot of what's been done hitherto in learning work is done privately. That's kind of part of the deal. You get to learn behind closed walls, and the university promises to keep your learning private. So in integrating some of these new medias, whether they're collaborative writing platforms, social platforms, blogs, wikis, photo sharing things, there's this tacit understanding that everything is being made incrementally more public. Students may or may not be excited by that, and faculty may or may not be excited by that. So that's just one of those challenges that I think helping faculty break down that move into more incremental steps and choosing to make things public when it's appropriate is a helpful direction.
So what does the redesign process look like from your standpoint when you're refining or redesigning an online presence? What questions do you think need to be addressed?
The redesign process of these online presences are tricky. Every user and potential content developer tends to have different needs, and that's, of course, expensive. First, it's helpful to look for tools that already exist that match onto what people are looking for, and even finding some of those tools that they can share with other groups will make things more tractable. Once groups arrive at that kind of understanding of what tools might be good places to start, then I think it comes down to a couple different places to look in the design process. One is, how are those online presences going to change over time? And to work with content producers and the people who will be maintaining the sites and figuring out, you know, is this a sustainable project? So that, I think, is a big feature of the design process. And another part of the design process that can help is to think about how the online presence can feature the most recent activity on a site, to allow whoever the users are of the site, whether the users are the authors within the group that's created the site, or whether they're the audience that are allowed to interact with the site as contributors, to allow them to game their contributions to the site and see that when they are active contributors, that those contributions are highlighted. And I think that's a big part of making this presence more social.
What is the role of a faculty member in an environment where students are relying on each other for expertise or creating their own content?
That's a tough question, because a lot of the times these new platforms where learning happens allow for different kinds of interactions than faculty and students are used to. It's cliched, I think, to say that students are used to them by virtue of growing up in this era. I think students, even when it comes to learning, aren't used to it because they're not highly used in educational settings yet. So even if they're used to posting on Facebook, they're not necessarily used to posting on a learning site where they're asked to make these ongoing contributions and engage in dialogues and discussions and talk about their and others' learning. When it comes to the role of the faculty member, I think it can be helpful to talk through how their role can be more or less public in the learning process and on the online site. Faculty can choose to participate more privately and coach students in the background, give them feedback in the background, and allow the students' contributions and content to stand for itself. Or the faculty member can choose to have a more public presence in the learning environment and can play a role more publicly that engages the students and creates dialogues, that assembles new discussions out of other pieces of discussions that are going on the sites. An instructor, a teacher, they can, in one sense, be a lurker on a site. The students can kind of engage each other and pursue their learning and the activities almost as if the professor wasn't there, but the outcome, then the learning outcome, can be kind of derived out of that.
Mobile devices continue to grow in popularity as a way to interact with the net and with each other. And since the social networks are accessible on the phone, and there are even apps to recognize other phones in a social network, how is the mobile device going to become more important as a tool in future learning, do you think?
The mobile device as a tool in future learning is going to extend kind of all the tools we're used to, I think, you know, because everything is going to now appear kind of in some form on that mobile device. But it should create some really interesting opportunities for how learning experiences can be more location-based and can unfold in real time. And I think that kind of site-based learning is going to be a big growth area for education in the next, say, 10 years as tools migrate onto the mobile platforms.
Beyond mobile devices, Brian, are there other trends you see that are going to manifest into different ways of approaching how we deliver online content in the next 10 or 15 years?
One of the big areas of work we're working on right now is thinking about adaptivity in learning tools. And there's a long tradition of adaption in education, teachers being adaptive to students' needs. But increasingly, it's the algorithm and the tool being able to be adaptive even beyond what an instructor or a teacher or a guide would be able to do, and to have the tools be so incrementally adaptive that where in the past, perhaps, an educator wouldn't have been able to engage with a student as frequently as often as they are now. Now the adaptive learning tools will create those incremental adjustments to what the learners want to know.
One more question, if I may. A lot has been said about the millennial student and the students that we're seeing today and their comfort with social technology and technology in general. Do you find that to be the case? Do you think that there are other specific skills or areas or things that we need to focus on with this group and not just assume that they're just ready to roll every piece of technology out we hand them in an effective and usable manner?
I think, in fact, the millennial student, which there is a lot of discussion about, isn't so inherently different than any student in the past. I think they might come to a learning environment with some additional literacy on how they would participate, on how they would use the tools. I think it's not so different from how any learner in the past would have cracked open a book. You know, any learner could have cracked open the book and started reading from the front to the back. The teaching presence has been there to guide the students in non-obvious ways, ways that connect the student's work to other works of other communities. You know, just as the student cracks open that book and reads it, I think there's a lot to be gained by the presence of mentors in these online learning spaces who have objectives for how students will engage the tools and craft their identity, craft their learning goals, try to achieve those learning goals. And I think that will ultimately shape how the millennial student kind of engages in these new professional activities, learning activities beyond the classroom. And whether or not they're able to do that out of the box more rapidly and proficiently than students in the past, I'm not sure. But I think it'll be interesting to watch and interesting to see how the tools continue to change. So mm-hmm. I guess what I'm more interested in is how the millennial professor, teacher, or instructor will be able to continually adapt to help out the students whose literacies will be all over the place.
Well, great. Well, I hope you have a great time at the conference.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
This EDUCAUSE 2009 annual conference podcast is sponsored by Juniper Networks and Quest Communications International. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.